All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Hey, if we haven't met, my name is Will McElroy. I'm the Shoreline Men's Coordinator, and I'm excited to continue our series of Word to the Wise, where we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 13 today. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and start turning there. But before I start talking about Proverbs 13, I want to ask a question. And you don't have to answer this question out loud, but I would love for you to think about, what's the worst part about being a teenager? What's the worst part about being a high schooler? And there's a lot of right answers to that, because there's a lot of hard things about being a teenager. But I think one of the hardest things, it could be something just like homework. Homework is hard, or maybe acne is hard, or maybe relationships are hard, friend groups changing, maybe you have moved a lot and moving's hard, right? There's just so many hard things. Applying to colleges is hard. But I asked that question, and I think I know, at least for me, what was the hardest part about being the teenager. And I think it's the amount of unsolicited advice that you get from everyone, right? As a teenager, it's like your job to just get advice, even though you never asked for it, right? Teachers are giving you their advice. Coaches are giving you their 2 cents. Your parents, right? Everything. They're giving you advice about who to date, when to date, what job to get, when to get a job, what school to go to. Everything that you do, they have an opinion on it. And then you go to some family event. Maybe it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, and those relatives you see twice a year, they have something to say, right? They have advice to give you. They'll ask you where you're going to college, and you'll be like, I don't know. And then they'll give you their whole college story and where you should go and all these things. And then I think maybe the worst part is there's like some random advice that you get that just doesn't like fit into a neat category, right? I remember this is probably the most random advice I got in my life. I was a freshman, maybe 10th grade, and this is what I looked like. There's a picture, and this will help you just understand. This is what I looked like. I was the late bloomer, okay? This is me. I think that's freshman year, maybe sophomore year, and you don't have to leave that picture up any longer. You can go ahead and take that down. But I was 5'2", I think, and I didn't weigh even 100 pounds. I couldn't bench press like the bar at weights for basketball. Like I was like the late bloomer, the tiny guy. And one time this guy, he was a teacher at our school, and he gave me just unsolicited advice. He came up to me and he's like, Will, I know it must be terrible being the small kid. And I was like, who starts a conversation like that? And then I was just thinking, I was like, I remember telling him, I was like, actually, like, it's not that bad. Like, I don't hate it. And he's like, no. Like, I know, like, it's the worst, dude. Like, you don't have to pretend around me. He's like, I know it's terrible. And I was like, well, yeah, I wish I was 6'5 and 250, but, like, it's really not that bad. And he was just like, no, Will, like, believe me. He's like, I know, dude. And the whole reason he started this out with this way, because he also was a late bloomer, and he wanted to give me his advice and his experience on being a late bloomer. And I was just thinking the whole time, I was like, dude, like, I just don't feel the same way as you did, man. Like, we're not the same. But he just felt the need to give me that advice. And so the reason I start there and the reason I start talking about advice is because Proverbs 13, it has a lot to say about listening to advice. And before we get into the content of the message, I just wanted to start by saying, like, hey, guys, I know that you are used to getting advice from people like me that you didn't ask for, from teachers, your parents, all the time you're getting advice, and it's tempting just to completely tune it out. And yes, there may be some advice, some bad advice that you should tune out, right? But I think Proverbs 13, it has something to say about when you receive godly advice, when you receive advice that is backed by Scripture, that someone who you know is wise is trying to give you some instruction, Proverbs 13 is saying that, hey, you should listen. You should stop and listen. And so tonight, as we look at Proverbs 13, we're going to look at several verses that talk about listening to advice. And I'm going to ask two questions I think this will help us as we move forward and as we just continue to receive advice and wisdom. And these questions are going to be this. The first one is going to be, what stops us from listening to advice? Right? And the second one will be, what are the rewards of listening to advice? And so the first one, the reason I put the first one as what stops us from listening to advice is I think a lot of you agree that there is good advice out there. There is good, godly advice out there. And if you're like me, you've learned two things about yourself. I know you're a little younger than me, but you've probably learned this too. You've learned that, hey, Will's life, your life, also my life, goes better for me when I listen to advice. Will's life goes better when he listens to advice. And the second thing I've learned about myself, that's the first thing. The second thing I've learned about myself is that I don't listen to enough advice. Even though I know my life is going to be better for it, I'm not seeking it out as often as I should. I'm not going and looking for advice. And so that's why I'm asking this question. If we know advice is good for us, what stops us from listening to it? What stops us from seeking it out? So I want to answer that question, and really it's just going to be one word. Give me one word, and that's pride. I'm going to break that down for a second, but let's just define pride. I think pride is a refusal to depend on God or submit to his leadership. And so what stops us from seeking out advice, even though we know it's good for us? It's pride. And before we even get any further, I want to just stop. Before we continue talking about pride, I want you to ask yourself a question. And here's why I'm going to ask this question is because I don't love talking about pride from stage. I don't love teaching on pride. And it's a subject that needs to be taught on, but I don't enjoy teaching on it because people who need to hear it, prideful people that need to listen to it, they're the least likely to listen, right? Like if you're prideful, you're probably not going to pay attention for these next 5 or 10 minutes because you don't think you need it. You don't think this maybe applies to you. And so I would just beg you, just because if you're like me, like I need this. I'm reading this and I was just like, man, like there are areas in my life that are prideful. And so I want us all to pretend just for the next 5 minutes that says, hey, maybe I don't feel prideful, but let's just pretend for 5 or 10 minutes. That's something that I would just ask of you. It's just like, hey, pretend that maybe, that just maybe there's areas of your life that have some pride in it and that you need to listen to this. Why? Because pride is stopping you from listening to advice. And so how does pride stop us from listening to advice? Well, I think in two ways. I think the first one is this. Pride causes us to underestimate our own ignorance. We go a chapter back, we're looking at chapter 13, but this is the only verse I'll choose from chapter 12. It's just one chapter to the left, and it says this, chapter 12, verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So what that's saying is, the way of the fool, he's right in his own eyes. The way of the fool, he is prideful. The way of the fool, he's ignorant, and he underestimates his own ignorance. Or in other words, there are blind spots in his life that he is unaware of, and the pride in his life is causing him to neglect them. And we need people, I need people in my life who are willing and courageous enough to say, hey, Will, you may not know this, but there are some areas, there are some sinful areas in your life that you are blind to, that you don't even know exist, and they are hurting you. To illustrate this point, I knew a guy who, crazy story, he didn't have any feeling in his feet, like no feeling at all in his feet. And he had kids, and his kids had Legos. And he stepped on a Lego, and that hurts enough, but obviously he's got no feeling, so he didn't even know he stepped on it. And this Lego actually got lodged in his foot, and he didn't know it because he didn't have feeling in his feet. And it lasted for days and days. This Lego just stayed in his foot, and it ended up getting infected to the point where he had to amputate his toes, all because of a Lego and because he didn't have feeling in his feet. And now that story is crazy. And when I first heard that story, I was like, this guy's married. Like, does he not have a wife who can, like, point that out? Like, I get it. I'm not looking at my feet all day, so maybe I would miss this for a day or two. But, like, surely his wife would notice that, like and point out, like, dude, you're hurt. Like, you need to go to a doctor. And that story is crazy, but in the same way, there are things in my life, there are small things in my life that if they go unnoticed, if no one points them out and saying, hey, Will, you may not know this, but this small thing in your life is infecting everything you do, and it's hurting you. It's hurting you, and you don't even know it. In fact, you're blind to it. And if I don't have people like that in my life, I will never notice the areas that I'm blind to. And so pride stops us from listening to advice because it causes us to underestimate our ignorance. And the second thing it does, pride tempts us to avoid feeling weak. Dependence on Christ is the goal, right? Dependence on God is the goal. So what would be the advantage? If we want to depend on God, then weakness is our advantage. If dependence is the goal, weakness is the advantage. And pride, it offers another story. Pride tells you, hey, you don't need to act weak. You don't need to appear weak. In fact, you need to act strong. And here's a story just to illustrate this point is when I first got married, I moved to Dallas. My wife was already living in Dallas. And she had an apartment. And that had like a month left on her lease. And so I moved in with my wife. The plan was to live there for 1 month, and then at the end of that month, we'd move to an apartment closer to Watermark. And once it came time to move, my wife was like, hey, we should ask for help to move. And I hate moving. Moving's terrible. And so I was like, I don't want to burden anyone. Like, we're newly married. We really don't have that much stuff. Plus, we had also gotten exposed to COVID, and I was like, I don't really want to do that tricky game of, like, we're exposed. Like, we should just do it ourselves. And so I was like, I've got a truck. We'll just make like one trip at a time, right? And just do this one thing at a time. Well, it was terrible. We still look back 2 years into our marriage, like that was the worst and lowest moment in our marriage, was the conflict and bickering that it caused moving all by ourselves, all because I was prideful and didn't listen to my wife. And I wouldn't have said it this way, but I didn't want to act weak. I didn't want to ask for help. And so if we read Proverbs 13:10, it illustrates that point. It describes that point as pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. I chose to not be wise, and it led to conflict in my marriage, and more than that, it led to conflict within myself. Because a couple weeks later, I got pretty sick. And it wasn't a type of sickness, like you wouldn't look at me and be like, oh, Will's sick. But I had a sore throat. I was tired all the time. I was sleeping 10 hours a day for a week, and it got to a point where there was about a day or two in a row where I think I slept 16 hours. And at that point, I was like, I need to go to a doctor and get help. And I went to the doctor. He thought I had mono. Test came back negative for mono, thank goodness. But then I was like, well, what is it? Like, do we need to do more tests? He says, no, like, I think I know what it is. I was like, okay, tell me. He said, I think you're stressed. I remember looking at the doctor. I was like, no. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm chill Will. Like, that was my nickname growing up, man. Like, I don't get stressed. Like, people know, like, I'm the guy that, like, things just don't, like, affect me that much. Like, and that's truly something that, like, worry, anxiety, it has not really been a part of my story. And I just, like, haven't gotten stressed. And so I'm telling him this. I'm like, dude, I'm like, no way that's it. Like, we need to go back to the lab, man, and figure out what's wrong with me. And he's like, Will, like, tell me. Like he's just telling me. He says, dude, you got married. You moved to Dallas, you moved to a new city, and then a month after moving to a new city and getting married, you moved again, and then you started working at this place called Watermark, and he's like, there's a lot of change that happened, and you may not feel stressed, but like your body is showing your stress, and I think you just need some rest. And he was right. He was right, and I wish it had never gotten to that point where I had to sleep 16 hours a day and go to a doctor, and I don't think it would have gotten to that point. I really don't think I would have gotten sick if I had just laid down my pride, listened to my advice, and sought for help, and realized that, say, hey, if I want to depend on Christ, then weakness is in the advantage. And depending on Christ in that situation would have just looked like asking for help from others. So that wraps up question number one. What stops us from listening to advice? Even though we know advice is good for us, even though we know godly advice is good for us, pride causes us to underestimate our ignorance, and pride tempts us to avoid feeling weak, which ultimately leads us to not seeking out advice. So that's question number one. Now let's look at question number two. What are the rewards of listening to advice? So when we lay down our pride, when we get to a point where we're humble enough to go seek for advice, what promises are in there in Scripture that this is a good thing, that this will lead to a fruitful life? Well, Proverbs 13, I think it lays out three very clear rewards. And the first one is this. The first reward of listening to advice is you will become wiser yourself. You will become wiser. Going back to verse 10, it says, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. So wise people, they don't become wise by getting older. Wise people don't become wise by gaining success. Wise people don't become wise by getting riches. They become wise by listening. They become wise by listening. It's this cycle of someone who's wise became wise by listening. And the more they listen, the wiser they get. And so I want you to just test this in your own life and ask if this is true. Think of the wisest person you know. Think of the wisest person you know. And I want to make a distinction here. I didn't say think of the smartest person you know, because wisdom isn't who knows the most or who's the smartest, but it is knowledge applied. And so the wisest person you know is probably someone who knows how to say the right thing at the right time. Or when there's a hard decision, they just seem to be able to effortlessly wade through the waters of just stress and hard decisions. And probably they are also one of the best listeners you know. The wisest guy I know is a guy named Bob Hepler. He was my coach in college, and he was several decades older. He was 60, and so he's obviously older than all of us 20-year-olds. But what always struck me about him was the amount of times that he would seek out advice from people who were far younger from him. Anytime there was a big decision to be made with the team, he would always seek advice from us, the athletes, even though we were 40 years younger than him. I didn't know as much as he did, but he still listened, and he genuinely listened. And more than that, he had a group of men that he met with regularly and listened to them because he wanted to grow in his faith and grow in his wisdom. And then even more than that, he would wake up at 4:30 in the morning just to spend time with God and to listen to God and to pray and ask God for wisdom. And so Bob was someone who listened. So what are the rewards of listening to advice? The first one is you will become wiser. The second one is you will have less failures. So will life be perfect if you listen to advice? Absolutely not. But I do believe you will have less failures if you listen to advice. And the reason I believe that is because of verse 14. It says, the instruction of the wise is like a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death. And look, a lot of us here, I'm sure if you're like me, you've ignored some advice, and we're still not dead. So I don't think this verse is literally saying that if you listen to advice, you'll avoid death. But I think what it's trying to get at is like, hey, your life will be better. You will have less failures. You will have less failures. And just to prove this point, there was a time, again, in college, I was working at a church in a youth ministry, and this is probably one of my biggest failures in youth ministry. And it all happened because I didn't listen to advice. And it started with the Christmas party. I was in charge of the games for the middle school Christmas party. I was the intern. Will was in charge. It was going to be the best Christmas party ever. And I had the best game plan. Like, let's go. It was going to be a gingerbread house building contest. But to make it more fun, I split them up in groups of 4 and 5. And they would get one person in their group. That person would lay down on the ground. And the contest was who could build the highest gingerbread house on that person's face as they lay down on the ground. And, like, this was the best game ever. Like, everyone was just, like, having so much fun, and we loved it. It was a smashing success until it was time to clean up. And we go, you know, kids are going to the bathrooms to clean up, and I just start hearing girls crying. And the girls, there was two blonde girls that they had their gingerbread house built on their face, and we were using red icing, like red frosting. And you can imagine the horror that a 7th grade girl goes to when she looks in the mirror after washing the icing off and her blonde hair is now red. And so we're calling parents. Girls are crying. I'm in the boys' bathroom because the boys were telling me, they're like, well, this guy, he's allergic. And so we found out that night that it was a great night to find out that one of the guys, he was mildly allergic to the icing and he was breaking out in hives. And so Christmas party is ruined. Like, we're sending kids home. I'm having to call parents. Like, I'm just so embarrassed because this was the one thing that I was asked to make great, and it failed. And to make it worse, my boss, she was able to tell me, I told you so. Because when I was running through the game to her, she was like, Will, I don't know what's going to go wrong, but something's going to go wrong. And I was like, yeah, probably you're right, but like, it'll be good. And it wasn't good. It wasn't. And we laugh at it today, but in the moment, I was so embarrassed. and so heartbroken that I truly messed up the evenings of several families because I was unable to listen to advice. And so I can confidently say that I would have less failures in my life if I listened to the advice of wise and godly people in my life. And the last reward that Proverbs 13 talks about for listening to advice is that you will be honored. You will be honored. Verse 18, if you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. But if you accept correction, you will be honored. The more you listen, the more you will be respected. I'm sure like you guys have received compliments. I've received compliments. One that I often get, especially after teaching, is someone will sometimes come up to me and they'll just be like, "Will, like, great message. I really needed that tonight." And it always feels good to get complimented. Like, I enjoy hearing that. But the compliment I enjoy hearing the most, and that I don't get it as much as I should, is when someone says, "Hey, Will, that was a great question." Like, or, "Will, you ask great questions." Or if they even go a step further, it's like, "Hey, you asked a great question and you listened really well." Nothing to me feels better when I hear that, because that tells me two things. That tells me that I honored them, that I honored the person asking a question and said, like, "Hey, I value your time. I value what you have to say. Like, I care about your advice and your authority over my life." And the second thing it does, it honors me, because it just shows that I care about others, that I'm loving others. And so it's a win-win for both of us. It honors them, it honors me, and in doing so, it honors God when we ask for advice and genuinely listen. And not just listen, write it down, take notes, and then forget about it, but when we listen and apply it to our lives. It honors others, it honors you, and it honors the Lord. And so, those three things are the rewards of listening to advice. And I just want to look at where we've gone tonight. We started with, I think all of us agree that advice is good for us, but we don't always listen to it. And what stops us from listening to advice is our pride. Pride causes us to underestimate our ignorance. It tempts us to avoid appearing weak. And then we looked at what happens when we humble ourselves, when we lay down our pride and listen. Well, you'll become wiser, you will have less failures, you will be honored. Now, I want to close with this. Again, I know I started with, I know you guys get so much unsolicited advice. So I'm going to give you another dose of unsolicited advice. And I would say this, if there's anything that was talked about tonight that maybe the story you related to or a verse that stuck out to you, if there's anything in you tonight that's like, "Hey, maybe I do need some advice, or I do need some community." Maybe you're like me, and a lot of stories in your life, a lot of the pain and hurt in your life could have been healed, or maybe even if it wouldn't have been healed, maybe you would have had just a better, an easier time going through a hard season if you had others to lean on, others to ask for advice, because that's my story. That was Blaine's story that he shared of just suffering with pride and not humbling himself to the point of just asking for help. And if you're like that, then I would encourage you to seek out community, because I was like that. When I moved to Dallas, and as I told you the story of us moving, like, I didn't really have people to ask for help. I didn't have community. But ever since then, for the last 2 years, every Wednesday morning at 6:30, I meet with a couple other guys, and I think there's a picture of my community group right here coming up. I meet with those guys every single Wednesday morning at 6:30, and that's my wife, and she meets with those girls every Thursday. And they know everything about my life. They know things about my marriage. They know things about my job. In fact, this morning, third Wednesday morning, as we talk about pride, I confessed to them just some areas that I had been prideful and that I needed help in. They know my finances, and I don't tell them all this stuff because I want them to be in the know, but I tell them all this stuff because there's areas in my life that I'm blind to, that I don't even know that are hurting me, and I want them to know as much as they can so that my life will be better for it, so that way they can give me real advice, godly advice. And I don't want to do this alone, guys. I don't want to do this alone. I want you guys to join me. If there's anything that you related to in this message, that if there's anything you relate to, if you feel like you've been going through this life alone and that you could use godly community, then I want you to join me. And in fact, this September, for you guys, this is because of you guys, we are having a membership class for students. And there's some students in this room that they've been doing community together, and their lives have been changed for it. And so we wanted to have a class for just students, just a membership class for and catered to you guys, because we believe that your lives will be changed if you seek advice and wisdom from others. And so I hope as the summer wraps up and as the school year comes around that you'll consider that first question, that, hey, maybe I am a little prideful, or maybe I do need some advice and some community in my life. And then I'd hope, I would pray that you would consider coming to this membership class and getting plugged into godly community. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I thank you so much for these students, and I thank you for godly advice. I thank you for godly people that you place in our lives just to point us in the right directions and to show us areas in our life where we may not be becoming the man or woman that you want us to be, God. And so I pray that you continue to bring people in my life and into the lives of these students that can just point me back to you, God. So we love you. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen.